Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Numbers, chapter 22, starting with the fourth verse. From Mount Hor, they set out by the wall to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me the catechetical review found on the inside of your bulletin, the close of the commandments. What does God say about all of these commandments? He says, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation, but those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." What does this mean? God threatens to punish all who break these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against them. But he promises grace and every blessing to all who keep these commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and gladly do what he commands. The epistle reading this morning is from the book of James, chapter 1, starting with the 22nd verse. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the word." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as we sing together the gospel Alleluia. Gospel for the sixth Sunday of Easter from John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things, and you do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you have come from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We make the bold confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 207. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. Good morning. Great to see you this morning. I brought an orange up here for us this morning. That's not an orange?
It's an apple.
It's an apple. How do you know that?
Because oranges can't be green.
Because oranges aren't green. That's a really good answer.
Hey, it's oranges aren't green.
Yeah, this is an apple. You're right. And an apple comes from an orange tree. An orange comes from an apple tree?
No.
An apple comes from an apple tree. And an orange comes from?
An orange tree.
And a pear comes from a?
Pear tree.
And a lemon comes from a?
Lemon tree.
You're right. You're right. You look at the tree and you know what kind of tree it is. And you can expect that that tree is going to produce that kind of fruit, right? So when you look at the apple tree, even now when the apple tree is just coming out in its leaves, you look at the apple tree and you know in the middle of summer you're going to have what on the apple tree?
Apple.
You're going to have apples on the apple tree. That's right. And lemons on the lemon tree and pears on the pear tree. That's right. So when we look at this, when we look at the tree, we can know that the tree is going to produce fruit, right? Now, when we look at you and me, we look at us. And God has called us into his kingdom in the waters of baptism. He's planted his word into us, and that word grows, and it produces fruit. So you guys are Christians, and what kind of things do Christians do? What kind of things do we do that is the fruit of being a Christian? An apple tree produces?
An apple.
So what do kids do?
Lemon.
Kids. Do you guys listen to mom and dad?
Yes.
Yes. See, that's part of being a Christian. That's part of being baptized and living in the life of Christ. Mom and dad tell you to do things. Why do you do them? Because you love mom and dad and you want to do what they say, right? How many of you are supposed to make your bed? Do you make it?
I make it.
Good, good. Why do you make it? Why do you make it? Right, right. We make it for a lot of reasons. Think about this. This comes from an orange tree, right?
No, an apple.
Comes from an apple tree, right? Apple trees produce. Why does the apple tree make the apple? They grow them, right? Why does an apple tree do that? Is it for the tree? Does the tree eat the apple?
No.
The apple tree produces apples for
us.
For us. The apple tree produces apples so that we can have apple pie, an apple crisp, and apples right off the tree, right? The apple tree produces the fruit for everybody else. When our Lord draws us into his kingdom in the waters of baptism, when he gives us faith, he gives us gifts. And those gifts are to love and serve our neighbors. To love and serve other people. So if you make your bed, does that help mom and dad?
Yeah.
It does. It helps them keep up on all the things. If you do really well in school, does that help mom and dad?
Yeah.
It does. And by the way, if you're not doing so well in school, what do mom and dad do? They help you. They help you do your homework, right? See, they have gifts and they're helping you as well. God has given us these gifts. He's made us Christians in the waters of baptism. He's given us gifts so that we can love and serve our family, our neighbors, even all those who are around
even
us.
Our brothers.
That's right, our brothers. Do you guys like apples?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about we pray and then we'll cut up this apple a little bit. Should we do that?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. You pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for helping us produce fruit. Thank you for drawing us into the waters of baptism. Thank you for loving us and helping us serve our neighbor. In your name, amen. All right, we continue with the next hymn. You guys stay here. I'll give you...
Yeah.
Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word and promise that you have implanted to us in the waters of baptism. We ask, Father, that we would produce fruit, fruit that honors you, and fruit that loves and serves our neighbor. Bless us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stop it. Just stop it right now. We have a tendency to read the book of James like it's still law, like we're all under the burden of the law. And we hear James say, do this, be doers of the word. And right away we equate that with, oh, I guess I have to do this in order for God to love me. I have to do this in order to be a good Christian. I have to do more in order for God to continue to bless me. Just stop it. We are not reading the book of James burdened by the law. We are reading James as those who are redeemed by Christ, forgiven of our sins, given faith. And now when we read James, it really comes to life. Because being a doer is a natural thing. Just like the apple tree produces the apples. It's easy to read James, though, when we read it. It's really easy to follow back into it again and fall into hearing it through the law. James writes, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That sounds like law. Do this. Be doers. You see, the law always wants to drive us. The law is always pushing us. The law speaks the language of our old sinful nature. We want a list. We want pastor to preach 10 things to give me a better marriage. We want a list so that we can check and see where we are in the list, if we're holy enough, or if we have to work harder. Stop it. Just stop trying to fix yourselves. You can't do it. You can't be holier to God. You can't work harder and make God love you more. He did that. He did the work. He loved you by sending Jesus to die on the cross and make you holy and give you the holiness. And then he brought you into his family in the waters of baptism so that you might continue to grow and flourish and produce all of this wonderful fruit, not only to recognize that this is who you are, but also to love and serve your neighbor. Now, I know in the book of James, when we read it, he doesn't just come right out and say, live in your baptism, but it's right here. It's right there in the book. He says, be doers of the word. You see, James isn't driving us back into the law. He isn't driving us back to do this so you'll have your best life now. He's pointing us back to the Holy Trinity. He's pointing us back to what God has already done. He's pointing us back to our baptism. Dear saints, do you know what's happened to you? You've been washed in holy water. You've been claimed, and God's name has been put upon you. When you were baptized, God's word was implanted into you. You had no part in that. You were a passive agent. You only received God's word. You received faith. You received forgiveness. God worked life in you. And even when you were dead in your sins, God brought you out and he forgave you. You were given faith to believe. Faith to believe that when Jesus died on the cross all of those years ago, his death meant your life. His death on the cross was your forgiveness. The law would surely condemn us. It would condemn us that we have to work harder, that we have to do more, that we haven't met the standard that God has set for us. But dear saints, we're not driven by the law because the law was paid for by Christ on the cross. We are a new creation, regenerated and made holy by what God has done. We've been connected to the cross. We've been buried with Jesus. Your sins were left in the tomb. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You are a new creation that lives in the gospel of Jesus Christ instead of being driven by the law. Did you hear it? Did you hear the activeness that's going on? You are. That is our present reality, a gift of faith that was implanted in you in baptism, and all of these gifts of Christ are now yours. God isn't our enemy. He's our victor. Christ is risen. And it is through your baptism and through the gift of faith that we can say those words and not just mouth the vocables, but say those words and know that our Savior lives and He has overcome sin and death, and that gift has been given to us. And as He lives and soon will ascend again as we celebrate ascension, He also has changed me and changed you. He's our loving Father who through His death has completely redeemed us from death. He has made you new. And through His redeeming, sanctifying work, He has regenerated you. That's a fancy church way to say He's made you to produce fruit. Now, hearing all that, living in your baptism, listen to James through your gospel identity. Be doers of the word. You see, the gospel changes everything. Be doers now takes on an entirely new meaning. Instead of pitting doing the word against hearing the word, we know that the two cannot be separated. Doing the word means hearing the word. The activities always go together. A doer of the word will hear God's word. A doer of the word will gather in worship where our Lord can give us His gifts. A doer of the word will keep on doing the things that faith has taught us to do. A doer of the word will produce good and pleasing fruit. An apple tree produces, orange tree produces, Christians produce, other Christians, yes, that's true. By the work of the Holy Spirit, but we produce good fruit. And the question is, what is that? And right here, when we hear that, Christians produce good fruit, you want me to tell you what that is? You see, that's the law, trying to sneak in again. Oh, the pastor said I need to do this and this and this, and then I'll be okay. You see, that's the law. I don't know what fruit you will produce because you are unique. And God has given you gifts that He's not given to anyone else. You see, dear saints, there is some complete and total freedom in the gospel. There's freedom from sin and death and damnation, all because of the things which Christ has done on the cross. Remember, St. Paul says, there is therefore now, on this side of baptism, on this side of the cross, on this side of that life of faith God has given to us, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The questions that we want answers to is, what fruit should I produce as a Christian? Well, some of the answers are clear, and we find those answers in God's word. We should be producing fruit that keeps the first three commandments. We should be putting to death every idol, every false god in our world. Remember, a false god, an idol that we worship, is anything we fear, love, and trust more than God Himself. You should be using God's name in the right way, which is calling upon Him in prayer, as we do when we pray, Our Father, right? We should be receiving His gifts in worship regularly. And when you fail of keeping those three commandments, and we all do regularly, we should run to God's word. We should run to His house where we hear again His words of forgiveness and absolution pronounced upon us. You see, repenting, confessing our sins, is living in the forgiveness of Christ. It's living in those fruits of faith that God has given to us to produce. James describes the fruits that is produced in the commandments 4 through 10. He describes those fruits this way. Visit the orphans and the widows. Bridle your tongue. We could say it another way. Love your neighbor. You see, the gifts that God has given to you, specifically, uniquely to you, are not only for you, but they're for you to serve your neighbor. You see, the apple tree doesn't produce apples for itself. The apple tree produces fruit because it's an apple tree, and the apples are for apple pie, by the way. There's great freedom living in the gospel. So much more freedom. But we love the law, and we want to be bound back under the law all the time. We have been given freedom. We've been freed by the law, by what Christ has already done. And that means, as we live now in this freedom, we will produce fruit, which means using those gifts that God has given to you to love and to serve your neighbor. Now, this quote has been attributed to Luther, but there's no way to substantiate it, so I don't know if he said it or not, but it's a great quote. The maid who sweeps her kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn, but because God loves a clean floor. And he's given her the ability to do that. The Christian shoemaker is not looked at as holy and righteous because he puts little crosses on the shoes, but because he makes good shoes for the people who buy them. Do you see? Our Christian life, our vocation, is a gift from God. And it glorifies God when we do the things we do very well so that we can love and serve our neighbor. Living in this baptized life, living in this sanctified and holy life is complete freedom. Because you see, we're not bound and driven by the law. The law was fulfilled by Christ on the cross. We're no longer living wondering if I've done enough, if God will love me. No longer living in fear of what I have done or what I will do. No longer wondering if God will love me because of my past or what I did today. Dear saints, you are a child of God. You are washed in the waters of baptism. You are connected to the cross of Christ where you are redeemed. You are forgiven. And God has implanted his word in you that it might not only give you salvation, but it might grow and flourish and produce good works that will love and serve your neighbor. This is the baptized life that James talks about. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds. In Christ Jesus our Lord, amen. Thank you.